Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Legal cases against the Trump administration stacking up on efforts to dismantle government agencies and cut federal staffing. In Boston today, a U.S. district judge has temporarily blocked enforcement of a federal buyout offer by President Trump's Government of Efficiency Office, in an order he says that will remain in effect until the judge issues a ruling. ABC's Mary Alice Park says only Congress can appropriate funds for any buyout offer, and funding is set to run out.
The federal government right now is only funded through March. We are careening towards a government shutdown if Congress doesn't pass another government funding package. And so that could be a big part of this case, too. The judge might say, look, you can't make these offers to federal employees in good faith because we could be facing a government shutdown already.
President Trump ordering the Mint to stop production of the 1 cent coin to stop. He says it costs more to make the penny. A new round of storms on the move from the south to the northeast and bringing a wintry mix and heavy rain. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue is assuring residents that the free IRS direct file system still remains a safe and secure option for this year's tax season. The program allows residents to file their federal income taxes directly with the IRS for free and is also integrated with the Department of Revenue's state tax system. Officials say the system features secure data transmission, identity verification, and is under continuous monitoring by the IRS for security threats. Residents can check their eligibility for the program on the IRS website. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services confirmed a second pediatric influenza-associated death in the state on Friday. According to health officials, the death occurred during the week of January 26th to February 1st, months after the first confirmed pediatric death in September. The Department of Health Services has been warning residents of higher flu activity this winter and recently saw the highest number of flu-related hospitalizations in a week since January of 2018. Officials also say flu vaccination rates are down this year. A spreading aquatic invasive species has been detected in a new area of Douglas County. According to county officials, the invasive zebra mussels were found in Upper St. Croix Lake for the first time since monitoring began in 2018. Zebra mussels have previously been found in Lake Superior and other smaller bodies of water in the county. Officials are again reminding residents to thoroughly clean their boats and equipment after use and allow adequate time for the equipment to dry between uses to help prevent the spread of the invasive species. A Rice Lake affordable housing project is now at a standstill as the city reclaims ownership of the site. The project would have seen a former nursing home on Newton Street converted into an affordable housing complex. The city purchased the land in 2018 and contracted the nonprofit Movin' Out for the renovations. Amid supply chain issues and growing construction costs, the nonprofit did not apply for needed tax credits this year, and the city terminated the contract. Officials still believe they have options for affordable housing at the property. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Eagles dominate the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in New Orleans, where the Eagles beat the Chiefs 40-22. In Super Bowl 59, Philadelphia jumped out to a 24-0 lead in the first half and never looked back. The Chiefs blow a chance to a three-peat. The last time they lost a Super Bowl was to Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Is this one even more disappointing? Andy Reid.
Yeah, they all hurt. You get this far. You battled your tail off to get this far. Very, very hard to do.
Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts awarded the game's MVP.
Offense was able to score points, to take advantage of opportunities, put points on the board, and then defense played their ass off. They played how they played all year.
NBA, the Bucks with a much-needed win, 135-127 over the 76ers. Damian Lillard with a season-high 43 points.
I told Dame that he needs to be an aggressive scorer and an aggressive playmaker. And that's a hard thing to do.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are heading into a cold week this week. We'll be cloudy by this afternoon with a little light snow by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today around 12. Tonight, clearing with a low of 14 below. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of only 2 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 13.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Luke Mathers is on a vacation, so it'll be Tuesday Tangents with you and Aaron Zomers. And headlines of the day. Be with us then. And what's worse? We'll see you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're rejoining us, thanks for sticking around. I know everybody's been looking forward to this segment. I've got two experts on Head Start joining me this half hour for a very serious, very real discussion about how Donald Trump is dismantling Head Start, which is effectively childcare for the lowest income families, how he's putting us all at risk by doing that. But before we get into the serious business of today, I wanted to give my two very special guests the chance to weigh in on a lighter topic this afternoon. First of all, let me introduce you both. Casey Peeks is the Senior Director for Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome, Casey. Thanks so much for making time. Happy to have you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
And my other very special guest is Jen Bailey. She's the executive director of REACH, Dane County's Head Start programming. Jen, thank you also for making time. You both have been very busy with all that is happening these days.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
So here's the light questions to start it off. We're doing a show poll, this show, asking all of our listeners to weigh in on who was the biggest loser yesterday, Seal, Drake, or the Kansas City Chiefs. Jen, I'll throw it to you first. Do you have a biggest loser favorite from yesterday?
As someone who didn't watch the game, I have to say the Chiefs. Sounds like it was a rough day for that team.
It was and I think that is a very safe choice, Jen. So I get it. And you have been very busy trying to save childcare in Wisconsin. So I understand why you need to carve out some time for the Super Bowl. Casey, who's your biggest loser from yesterday, Drake, Seal, or the Chiefs?
I have to say Drake. I think that that was pretty brutal on top of the Grammys last week, also heavily focused on that diss track. So I'm going to go with Drake.
Yeah, Casey, I think I'm probably with it's hard. You ask me one minute. I re-listen to the Seal Mountain Dew commercial, and then I think he's the biggest loser. It changes. But if I had to make my bet would probably be with Drake. But ladies, let's turn now to the serious business of today's discussion with you both. First of all, Casey, let's just set the stage. What is the funding holdup for Head Start? And can you tell everybody, most people have heard the words Head Start. I don't think everyone knows what Head Start is and why it's so important.
Yes, of course. So I can start kind of just explaining what Head Start is, and then I can kind of give an overview of all that transpired last week, because it's kind of hard to follow. But Head Start is a federal program that provides childcare and also preschool services for children under age 5 living in poverty. It's a federal to local program. So the federal government gives money to local grantees to provide these services for low-income families. And kind of as you said at the top, these are our lowest income families, most vulnerable children who desperately need these services, not just for childcare and preschool services, but they also get nutrition and other wraparound services if they're enrolled in Head Start. So it's just a critical resource for the families who are able to get those services. And last week there was, and I can't imagine, I can't believe it's only been a week.
I know.
But last week, there was a memo that the Trump administration put out freezing all of these federal grant programs. And initially, it looked like it did include Head Start because Head Start programs couldn't access their funds. A judge got involved saying that that freeze was illegal. The Trump administration also rescinded that memo. So they're saying that the freeze is done. They rescinded it, but we're still seeing that a lot of Head Start programs across the country and in Wisconsin are still unable to access those funds. And it's not really something that the Trump administration has been actively trying to get to the bottom of why those funds are still unavailable despite rescinding the freeze.
Yeah, my commentary here on this is another ham-fisted, completely sloppy, sort of wide-reaching memo that wasn't properly considered. Whether or not you agree with taking a very fine-tooth comb or a look at efficiency and effectiveness within government programming, I think most of us can agree that's good. Let's increase efficiency. This wasn't that. This was just a wholesale attack on all kinds of grant, federal grants and funding programs. Often the programs that impact our most vulnerable within our communities, and certainly the hiccups, to put it mildly, but the complete freeze and isn't even coming impact of the withholding of Head Start funding has been really critical. Families are not able to put their kids into the Head Start program. Jen, I want to turn to you. You know a bunch about what's going on in Head Start programs in the state, specifically Dane County. Tell us, what have been the impacts of Donald Trump's freeze, not freeze, freeze again, maybe freeze, not sure what's happening, freeze, totally probably illegal, but they don't care about that freeze, freeze on federal grants.
Absolutely. The impact on the ground really has been chaos. The way our funding system works, every year Head Start programs get what's called a notice of award that says you are allocated X number of dollars to serve X number of kids and families. And that funding essentially lives in a cloud that we call our PMS system. And we have to draw down expenses in real time. So it's not the case that programs like Reach Dane and other Head Start programs get a check in the mail every year that here is your funding. We can only draw down the money as we have expenses. So we are very dependent on that system needing to work reliably. And up until January 28th, it always had. So we have expenses within 24 hours after we make the request, we have the funding available. And on the 28th, the funding was literally turned off in the night, totally unable to access the system. For Reach Dane, that was a payroll week, and we needed money to be able to pay our hardworking staff for time that they had already worked. So we ended up having to access a line of credit through our bank in order to make payroll because the funding was not available to us.
So to the best of your knowledge, Jen, and I have some information from both a press release and a letter issued yesterday by Senator Tammy Baldwin. Are there Head Start programs in this state that have shut down? Are there kids that aren't getting meals? Are there parents that cannot place their children into these childcare and early childhood education programs that may not be able to get to their jobs? And given that these are some of our lowest income families, are there people who may have been fired that are facing dire existential, frankly, family-threatening, life-threatening circumstances because of this stupidity from the Trump administration?
There was a program in Waukesha that did have to shut down for a period of time because they were not able to access funds. I can share a bit of a good news update, which I think thanks to all the advocacy from folks like the governor's office, from our local representatives, we have been able to get our funding request just this morning. So this morning, Reach Dane finally received the over $600,000 that we had been waiting for. I think we're all holding our breath because the true test will come with drawdowns to come. Yes. So once again, it's a payroll week for Reach Dane, and we are crossing our fingers and toes and hoping that the system continues to function as it's supposed to.
So, Jen, are you saying that there remains pretty extraordinary concern about whether and when funding may or may not be available? Is it having an impact on ongoing operations? Have people pared back their employees? Have they stopped providing certain services, caps, or are there any continuing programmatic impacts?
I think there definitely are. I think up until January 28th, we operated under the assumption that when we had funding that was awarded by Congress, already obligated to us, we're not talking about new dollars, that it would be available. And we no longer can operate under that assumption. And critical bandwidth from leaders like ourselves is now being taken up with managing cash flow. You know, is everything okay? Do we have our funds in place to be able to meet our expenses, rather than what we should be doing, which is focusing on providing the highest quality programming for kids and families? And I think many directors like myself worry, you know, the workforce situation in early childhood as a whole is hard. Yes. And will the uncertainty in funding, you know, make staff wonder, you know, should I be working for Head Start? Do I need to be worried about my jobs? I had those conversations with some of our staff just this morning. So it makes what's already a challenging workforce situation even more challenging.
Casey, let me return to you folks. If you're just joining us, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined by two special guests this afternoon. Casey Peeks, who is the Senior Director of Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and Jen Bailey, who heads up Head Start in Dane County. Casey, how many kids are in the Head Start program nationwide? How many child care workers? What sort of system disruptions are now at risk?
Yeah, so a lot of children are served. I think estimates range from like just under 800,000 a year across the entire United States and, you know, over 200,000 staff across the U.S. So this is a large infrastructure. In a lot of states that have preschool programs, Head Start's also helping with the state pre-K. So this is really wide sweeping. I know that in just in Wisconsin alone, I mean, there's over 70% of children under the age of six have all available parents in the workforce, which means that they need somewhere to be during the day. And yes. So services like Head Start are critical. So this is wide sweeping effects, not just Head Start, but the early childhood system in general. The crisis of like parents not being able to find care, disruptions, causes $122 billion in loss to the American economy every year. So when you mess with childcare, it has wide sweeping ripple effects to the local economy and just the broader economy in general.
Yeah, if your reason for voting is we want an economic engine, economic power, it doesn't work that way. If your reason for voting for Donald Trump was supportive families and middle class families and folks that are struggling, it ain't working that way. We're going to come back with these very two special guests. Thank you, ladies, for sticking around for another segment, because we're going to dig in. This was actually part of an announced plan, the dismantling of Head Start. We're going to dig into what is actually going on here more deeply, how it's impacting you and your families, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Next.
Hey, I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome if you're just joining us. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got two very special guests with me this afternoon. I'm joined by Casey Peaks. She's the Senior Director of Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, as well as Jen Bailey. She heads up Dane County's Head Start program here in the state of Wisconsin. We're talking about Trump's dismantling of childcare, of the education system writ large. And I know a lot of families have been shocked by this. But Casey, I want to turn to you. This was actually an announced intention in Project 2025. Project 2025 explicitly endorsed the dismantling of Head Start, which is, by any objective measure, one of the most successful federal grant programs for early childhood education and childcare in the history of the United States. Casey, what do you say to people who say, well, I didn't know he was going to do this?
Yeah, so I actually wrote about this last summer trying to let people know. And I think if you didn't know, hopefully you know now that this is really the long-term plan for the Trump administration. And I think to your point of this isn't lowering costs for families. In fact, we know that childcare costs now for a lot of families is more than their mortgage and rental costs. So if you're trying to lower costs for families, I can't think of anything better than investing in early childhood education and making childcare more affordable, expanding access to Head Start. So to eliminate this program without any solution for an alternative is really going to hurt a lot of families and make their lives a lot harder and more expensive.
Well, I think one of the most important lessons to be learned here is, you have to pay attention not to what Donald Trump is saying, though he sometimes does tell you what he's going to do. You have to pay attention to what he's doing and what those who control these federal agencies are doing. And in this case, the attacks on Head Start have been part of GOP talking points for a long time. They wrote it down in Project 2025. It was there if you were curious enough to find it out, to read work from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Casey, as you point out. Jen, I wanted to return back to the state of Wisconsin and ask you, What should people be doing if they are concerned about this approach from the Trump administration, that in the one hand, they say that they care about hardworking families, they care about childcare, but on the other hand, are doing everything that basically embodies the opposite of care for American families and hardworking families trying to access affordable childcare?
I think it's very important that people reach out to their local representatives to let them know that Head Start is an important part of their community, provides valuable services to some of the most vulnerable families, and many families rely on Head Start programs to be able to go to work, to be able to maintain employment. And I heard from one local representative that earlier this week, they received the highest volume of calls they had ever had. And I think that advocacy and people using their voices is a big part of the reason why programs like mine got funding this morning and will be very important in the continued fight to be able to maintain Head Start services.
Folks, if you're wondering how to contact your local representative, let me start with one of our state's senators. If you'd like the phone number to Ron Johnson's office, his Senate office in Washington, D.C., I've got it right here for you. Get your pen and pencil out, pen and paper out. Here is Senator Ron Johnson's D.C. phone number. Call them. Tell them to actually start doing things that support families. That's the Senate, as well as the Congress, should be protecting Head Start. Here's the number, 202-224-5323. That's 202-224-5323. And folks, we are going to put every single congressional representative for the state of Wisconsin and their contact phone numbers, as well as their emails, in our show notes for today. So we will go ahead and do all of that work for you, Civic Media listeners. You don't have to do it. Just give us a little time after we wrap today. Go check out my show notes at civicmedia.us/shows/Maggie Dawn Show. You can find all of this information there. We will put the DC office phone number for every single member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation, senators and congresspeople. Call them and tell them what you think about this approach to early childhood education and childcare. It ain't working. Casey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell Wisconsinites and listeners what you think they should be doing and your final thoughts on these issues surrounding education more broadly.
Yeah, I think Jen is definitely right. Contact your elected officials. I think especially when we're not getting a lot of information from the administration, that's how Tammy Baldwin found out about how many Wisconsin Head Start programs were closed. It wasn't from the federal government. It was from Wisconsinites calling her office and letting her know what was happening on the ground. So definitely continue to do that. And then I think really think about what is most important to your family and making things more affordable for your family and your community, and also really looking at what are those supports that, you know, children in your own life and also your community needs. It's Head Start. We're also just seeing attacks on education more broadly. And yes. So I think to really explain to your local officials how those services that the federal government pays for really impact your life on a day-to-day basis and what it would look like if those services went away.
Folks, you're hearing from my two very special guests, Casey Peeks, who's the Senior Director of Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Fund. She knows of which she speaks. She was Director of Federal Policy and a Policy Advisor at the Children's Defense Fund. She worked on the House Committee on Education and Labor. She was a Federal Policy Analyst at the Child Care Aware of America, as well as the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. And she also taught kindergarten, so she's been right there on the ground. My other special guest, Jen Bailey, she heads up Head Start in Dane County and also was got involved with Head Start back in the early 2000s, falling in love with Head Start's mission, and that has been there now for 25 years, working up to the position as executive director. Ladies, thank you so much for your tireless advocacy. Folks, we're going to take care of some business and be back with Dom Salvia for In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is rolling out the Dairy Business Innovation Act of 2025, a bipartisan bill aimed at keeping the program going strong for years to come. It also gives the program a major funding boost, raising its annual authorization from $20 million to $36 million. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and according to Rebecca Sweeney, Senior Director of Programs and Policy for the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, a recent survey shows just how crucial this program is for Wisconsin dairy producers.
In a recent survey of our Alliance grant recipients, 93% reported that they've been able to retain or expand their valued workforce thanks to this program alone. Nearly 80% share that this program has contributed to their business resilience. 65% of respondents shared that their Alliance grant directly resulted in increased sales volumes for their business, and more than 50% reported an increase in their milk processing, with another 30% saying the increased milk usage is imminently ahead for their business.
Once again, that's Rebecca Sweeney with Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 491 and a half. That was up 4 cents. New crop corn closed at 471 and a quarter, up 5 1/4 cents. Cash beans closed at 1049 and a half with no change, and new crop beans closed at 1057 and a half, also with no change. Cash wheat closed at 579 and a half, down 3 1/4, and new crop wheat closed at 604 and a half, down 1 3/4. March Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1972 a hundredweight, up 28 cents, and April milk is trading at 1953, up 31 cents. Barrel cheese closed at 181 and a half, up 3 1/2 cents. 40-pound block cheese closed at 190 and a quarter, up 4 1/4, and the AA butter had no change and closed at 238. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are heading into a cold week this week. We'll be cloudy by this afternoon with a little light snow by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today around 12 tonight. Clearing with a low of 14 below tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of only 2 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 14.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
How will the most recent attacks on federal programs affect everyday Americans here in Wisconsin? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams coming up on the next show.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
welcome, welcome. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Monday. It is 3:30, and I'm always so happy to be joined by my good friend and yours, Dom Salvia, who's got the fine, fine program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for a little segment we like to call, in case you missed it. But it really should be titled whatever the heck we want to talk about would probably be more appropriate. Thanks, Dom, for hanging out with me and Aaron and Jamie this afternoon.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Hey, Jamie and Aaron as well. Wow, what a weekend, huh?
Yeah, a few things happening. We're going to go through a number of them. But folks, if you have been listening to the show this afternoon, you know that there is a fine show poll going on. You're going to want to get in on that. And here's the question, Dom. We will register a vote for you in our show poll.
Okay.
Because I want to know, who was yesterday's biggest loser? The artist formerly known as Seal, who was married to Heidi Klum, who had Kiss from a Rose as a chart-topping single in the Batman Returns movie, at the apex of pop culture in the United States, who now just had his face superimposed on a seal in a Mountain Dew commercial. Ooh, that hurts. And it wasn't even a good commercial. It was just weird. Okay, so that's contender number one for yesterday's biggest loser. Contender number two, for obvious reasons, the artist from Canada known as Drake, who got trolled yet again by Kendrick Lamar. And thirdly, option three, the Kansas City Chiefs. Folks, if you want to get in your vote before we close this poll, just text the word Seal, Drake, or Chiefs to 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can go to civicmedia.us/shows/Maggie Dawn Show and register your vote there. But Dom, what's your vote for yesterday's biggest loser?
Megan, that's a great selection, but I got to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. So yeah. I lost money on the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so I was at a Super Bowl party, and we're all kind of hanging out. You know, I love the underdog. But everybody at this party was like, yeah, go Eagles. Well, I mean, I like to have a little conflict here and there. So
Went with a buddy. You're a pot stirrer. Yeah, for sure.
Just to make a bet to have someone else cheer about something else. And so I begrudgingly took the Chiefs, and wow, they just got... They got it handed to them. And as bad as Drake may have felt, man, I got to tell you, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think they're feeling a little worse. With regard to the seal, yeah, wow, what? That was strange. What I want to know is how much did he get paid for that? Because that would help, you know, ease the burden, ease the pain.
Assuage the shame. Apparently, there is a price for your pride and shame. It's whatever Mountain Dew paid Seal for that commercial yesterday. We got a lot of serious stuff to talk about. We got Trump with the 25% tariff on aluminum and steel. Everybody knew it was coming. I think just a matter of time. Hey, if you think houses are expensive now, just wait. Good Lord, that is a terrible bit of news for everyone in the middle class. Oh, yeah. We're in the state of Wisconsin. Are we the dairy state, Dom? Dairy?
Yes,
I think it's the dairy state.
We are, yes.
Oh, yeah. Donald Trump freezing the U.S. Department of Agricultural funding. You combine that with the tariffs and the increase on the tariffs in China and the soybean. This is not going to go well for American agriculture or Wisconsin dairy farmers, is it?
It doesn't seem like, and it seems, you know, Trump 2.0 is a lot like the first one. And you know, like most movies, with the exception of The Empire Strikes Back, the sequel's always worse, and I expect this will be worse. Yep. And last time he tried this whole tariff thing with China, we ended up, you know, subsidizing our farmers to the tune of $20+ billion.
Billion.
Billion. That was just a giveaway to a lot of Trump voters, you know, around the election time. And I would expect
they hate that big government, except when the check is getting cut to them. Yes.
Don't they, though? So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't bode well. I see nothing in this go around that would make me think it's going to be any different than the last time around.
Yeah, terrible. Freezing the Inflation Reduction Act. How about that price of eggs? And how's that it's just all of it being revealed as a complete fig leaf for voters to vote for a rabid racist isolationist. Hamas announcing it's delaying the release of hostages. That peace accord looks to be on very, very shaky ground. Let's see what else. Oh, yes. They're cutting funding to the National Institutes of Health because, you know, we don't want cancer research. It's really bad. Oh, this one. This was a little tidbit I picked up. The national the NSA and our entire national security apparatus is really worried because of this like word scrubbing, this like language policing that Donald Trump is engaged in, because they can't have anything on any of their networks that use the words confirmation bias or privilege, despite the fact that in intelligence circles, confirmation bias is a thing you need to be aware of, as is this concept called privilege escalation, which means this very specific tactics our intelligence adversaries and just our world adversaries use to gain higher level permissions
right.
to networks. It's not, we can't
it's
talk
not about
that.
Being woke, you know, these are terms that are operational in totally different contexts, but they got a problem with the word. So what, they're going to scrub everything and then not allow these agencies to do their job?
I don't get it. I'm going to put some sense around it tomorrow. I'm going to do a really deep dive. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. If we zoom back out about what's actually going on, because so much of this is just completely ineffectual. It's not actually working. It's harming these very essential elements of our government, like cancer research, right? Like universities that depend on NIH funding to conduct cancer research and other life-saving medical research. It's hampering our intelligence gathering capabilities. It is hampering our military and our intelligence capabilities, full stop. All of that going on. And here's a thing, Dom, would it surprise you to hear that this isn't really what the Trump voter thought was going to happen? In fact, many of them are pretty ticked off about it. There is absolute tanking of Donald Trump in the polls. It is pretty amazing. Have you been watching some of this polling that's been coming out?
I have, Maggie, and he didn't start out great, lower than I think most modern presidents. And I don't think it's again, depending on which poll you're looking at on which day. But I certainly, since the start of his administration, he's been markedly going down.
Yeah, Donald Trump actually, this is according to Gallup, okay, like the poll of polls, began his term with the lowest job approval rating of any president since 1953, except for Donald Trump in his first term. That was the only one with a lower, so lower than Joe Biden, lower than Obama, lower than any president since 1953, with a job approval rating of 47%, and oh, his disapproval rating at 48%. Just to put this in context, Joe Biden entered the presidency in 2021 with a 57% approval rating and a 37% disapproval rating. It's only gotten worse since there. Only 26% of Republicans now think that Elon Musk should have a lot of influence in the administration. By the way, overall, that percentage is 13%. Shows you a bit of the partisan perception of Elon Musk's role in government. What do you think their strategy is? I mean, this isn't building any momentum for the midterms. This isn't, you know, actually helping Americans afford housing, daycare, childcare, elder care. It's not raising anybody's wages. I mean, what is the deal?
In a large part of this, I think, is this, you know, Donald Trump coming out and trying to flex his muscle because he can't get these things done through Congress. Congress is ineffectual. Congress has their own issues coming up. Mid-March funding supposed to run out. And then by the end of April, we're supposed to have the appropriation bills done, or they're going to have a 1% across the board cut, which, of course, some Republicans probably want. But either way, that doesn't bode well for getting a budget done, getting these things in order. And that's going to suck up all the oxygen in the room in like a couple of weeks. So if he doesn't do it now, make these actions now, you know, he's not going to get the coverage that he is getting now. And also, look at the efforts from those folks who are resisting, you know, unconstitutional orders, illegal mandates. You know, the courts are coming out left and right. It's hard to keep track of which states' attorneys general are suing on which topic on which day.
Basically, they're all coming. The Dems yeah. on a rotating, right? Like, it just depends on how quickly they can get signed up for the lawsuits.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's losing, right? Like, there's 45-plus cases. He hasn't won a single ruling in any of those cases. You mentioned Congress, Dom, and I think there is a really interesting line of analysis. And again, folks, I'm going to do a deep dive on this tomorrow in my show in the first hour. So look for that, everybody, about why would you go about doing these things in this way that you know the courts will largely undo when, oh, you're supposed to have both the Senate and the House and the Supreme Court and MAGA controls the White House. So why wouldn't you legislate it? And I've got some thoughts on that that go beyond Congress is a dysfunctional cesspool of partisanship with people like MTG in it. I think it's deeper than that. I'm going to talk a bit about that more tomorrow. Check this out. Americans overwhelmingly opposing the January 6th pardons, overwhelmingly opposing the Gulf of America's stupidity, overwhelmingly opposing the end to birthright citizenship, overwhelmingly opposing withdrawal from the World Health Organization, overwhelmingly opposing the idea of having raids, immigration raids in schools, hospitals, and churches, overwhelmingly opposing making it harder for Medicare to negotiate for lower prescription drug costs. This is all of these things. And again, this is a cross political spectrum. There's some variation about what people have heard of course, because folks in the faux news bubble aren't hearing about all this terrible stuff. But people also overwhelmingly opposing dismantling of FEMA. It goes on and on. On and on. This was a bit of an item worthy of note. Independents, 37% of independents believe that Trump's policies are going to raise prices for Americans. Notable. Guess what? Of 2024 Trump voters who are not strong Trump voters, okay, 35% of them are now worried about that. Sounds like a little bit of a different tune than what we were in November, doesn't it?
A little bit of F around and find out. And it is unfortunate. And it's not just the MAGA voters. It's even some of the Republicans in Congress are acknowledging that, yes, these policies are going to have a negative impact on you know what? A little bit of pain, I think Trump said, that, you know, the American people will have to take a little bit of pain to, quote unquote, right the ship or whatever it is that he's trying to do. And again, I still wonder, Maggie, how is this? What does success look like? Are we going to see a reduction in our debt and our deficit? I mean, what are we talking about here? Because the budget's been set. You know, if you're so concerned about these different budgetary items, what we got, we're funding runs out in the middle of next month. Do it through the budget process. Get it done. Get it signed. I mean, if you're going to talk about the money and the budget starting from the people, it starts in Congress, starts in the House. Well, that's where you go. But of course, they are so dysfunctional, they can't even with their majority agree on what they want to agree on. So they're going to have to, go to the Dems for some help on. I mean, and the Dems, of course, with this, the efforts by this administration are really don't have a working partner in that. What Bannon said, you got to be more partisan, right? And that's what they're trying to do. They don't want anything to do with the Democrats. So,
yeah, he's not trying to court any Democratic support for any of these policies.
No.
There's very little support in the American public for what he's doing when it's clear about it. I'm going to talk about the political tactics, right? The overwhelm, the shock and awe, the muzzle velocity, the flood, the zone of it all. Tomorrow, I'm going to break down what is actually going on, because Donald Trump, if anything, is a charlatan, a clown, a man that presents himself as one thing, but is in actuality another. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk about that anti-Christianity ego when we come back with my little buddy and yours, Dom Salve, who's got the great program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. This, however, is the Maggie Dawn Show. He's a special guest on it with me for this last segment of the day. Get your 2 cents, dime, nickel, or quarter in 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's your last chance to get in on our show poll today. Who is yesterday's biggest loser? The artist formerly known as chart-topping Seal? The rapper who used to show his face in public, Drake? Or the nobody can ever beat us in the Super Bowl Chiefs? Your options are Seek, Drake, and the Chiefs. Get it in, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We will give you the results of that poll before the hour is out. Donald Trump, in a flurry of stupid things over the weekend, not only is apparently like firing a bunch of people from the Kennedy Center board and appointing himself Grand Poobah of the Kennedy yeah. Center, which is just like in the list of petty, stupid things that he can do and waste his time on, like, you know, jacking the security clearance of Joe Biden, removing security details from people whose lives are actually under threat from a guy who almost was assassinated, right? Like, just super petty. The other super petty, lame thing he did was this stop discriminating against Christians as if that's really a thing. Anti-Christianity bias blockade something or other, blah, 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 executive order. Dom, what was your take on this hot mess? Couldn't wait to ask you this one.
Yeah,
friend.
You know, it is a variation of something I say a lot. When are the rich white Christian nationalists in this country going to catch a break? You got to be absolutely
other than the January 6th pardons.
Yes, of course. I mean, it's certainly not a thing. And I wonder, you know, because I'm critical at times of the religion in general, but that's fine. I just wonder if, you know, my observations and my critiques are you know, getting someone's, you know, religion privilege a little too close, because that's what the majority of people are in this country, are Christians. And there is not. If people have a problem or take an objection to, as I do, religion, I have no religion. That is my only objection. And whatever people do to get through the day is entirely up to them. And I support them in that, whether they have a belief or no belief like me. For Donald Trump to go out there and, you know, what, meet for the base, I guess this is not a thing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to me. And lest we forget who we're talking about here, as if Donald Trump actually knows what Christianity is about, Here's what he said about the fundamental, most core tenet of Christianity, the concept of contrition and forgiveness. Let's listen.
But have you ever asked God for forgiveness? I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
Just to be clear, Donald Trump just said he's never asked for forgiveness. I mean, this guy is the one who's supposed to, protect Christianity. Dude, you don't even know what Christianity is all about. It is an insanity. And oh, by the way, I wanted to bring this tweet back up. The House GOP Judiciary Twitter handle back in 2022 legit just texted Kanye period, Elon period, Trump period. Should we revisit what Kanye has been posting on X lately? Let's see. Never apologizing for my Jewish comments. I love Hitler now. What swear word? I'm a Nazi. Hitler was so fresh. I'm going to normalize talking about Hitler the way they're talking about blanking has been normalized. He basically put porn up yesterday on Twitter. Like this is the Christianity that needs protecting, the Elon Nazi salute. That is anti-Semitism. Guess who's facing more anti-Semitic violent threats now because of Yi and Elon, right? Like, from what bias? Like, what's the great harm befalling Christians as you slam the Ten Commandments into classrooms across the country? I don't get it.
Well, they certainly are trying to, and there is pushback, and rightly so, because that should not be the case. And what religion do you stop if you want to start, you know, forcing religion into the public classrooms? And in the state of Wisconsin, we have a couple of state legislators that want to put In God We Trust in very specific letter size in all the classrooms. I mean, this is from the Christian side, and of those folks that are supporting that, won't get into some of the detail, but one of those folks was very critical, called a 13-year-old in a public hearing in Wausau on inclusivity the F blank G word, right? And ensued, Wausau, the Daily Pilot went into that quite a bit. That's a story there. But point being is that that's not a very Christian thing to do, to my understanding. And let's not also forget, Maggie Dawn, Donald Trump stood up not so long ago and proclaimed that he, in fact, is not a Christian. He said the words, "I am not a Christian." So, you know,
well, no again, kidding. I mean, you violate one of the Ten Commandments every day. You violate the Golden Rule every day. He's now they fired and then reemployed this little minion of Musk, who wrote this past September, yes, September 2024, that I was a racist before it was cool. Normalize Indian hate. You could not pay me to marry outside of my ethnicity. I'm sure that's what Jesus would do. I'm sure. Doesn't that, it makes total sense. Allie from Madison, thanks for your text about what was going on television last night on many of these issues. Cam from Appleton, I see you. One of our newish texters from the 920 texting, "I am a Christian and the MAGA party has no clue at all what it means to be a Christian. The Ten Commandments do not belong in classrooms." Ron from Milwaukee also bringing up some really important points that I'm going to be talking about tomorrow. The Nixon shock and the differences between what's going on now and then, as well as the Impoundment Act, Donald Trump's lawlessness, and what does it all mean? What is the big picture? You're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. It's a vintage Maggie does a deep dive kind of approach. Keep it locked, though. Dom Salvia is up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Mattiner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many areas in Milwaukee are considered a food desert. That's why there's the mobile market. You'll find out how you can use it yourself. Join us.
Mattiner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge issued a temporary injunction against the Trump administration's buyout for federal employees.
For the moment, the buyout plan remains in limbo. At a hearing Monday, Boston-based federal judge George O'Toole said he would leave his temporary stay in place until he decides whether to impose an injunction. Federal workers' unions have sued to block the buyout, arguing the president has no legal authority to offer payouts through September, with agency funding currently set to run out next month.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. President Trump expected to sign off on imposing 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum imports as early as today. A busy round of confirmation votes this week in the Senate, including Director of Intelligence nominee Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. to lead Health and Human Services. Your 2 cents worth may become a thing of the past. President Trump calling on the Mint to stop production of the penny, saying it's wasteful and costs more to make the 1 cent coin. Plenty of pennies remain in circulation. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.